I want to speak to you today on one of my favorite subjects, that's prayer. And I want to offer you, if you ever want this, I always use notes. I don't always follow them. I try to follow the Holy Spirit. But if you want my notes, I'll be glad to send them to you. It's zackzach.guess@gmail.com. But I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. And the title of my sermon is going to be Teach Us to Pray. We can learn how to pray. If we're born again, we do pray. That's the first thing we do. But we can learn how to pray. We ought to be learning how to pray. Even I've been praying for many years now. I want to try to learn how to pray better. I guess it's from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, was praying, at a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So we can learn to pray. I guarantee you today, if you'll listen carefully, you can get some good tips on how to pray better. I'm going to have a lot of material. I don't want to overwhelm anybody, but I hope that everybody will glean something out of this and do something practical. I want to encourage you. You may feel very weak in this grace. In fact, you may feel like you're a weak Christian. I know I'm a weak Christian. But you know, weak Christians can pray better than anybody else because they know they got to depend on God. And there's a verse of a song in our book. I want to read you this last, probably this last verse. It's number 464 in the Prayer of the Baptist Hymnal. It's called Gird Thy Loins Up. I remember I just caught my breath the first time I heard this verse. That's the last verse now of number 464 of the Prayer of the Baptist Hymnal. The name of that song, Gird Thy Loins Up, talking about the whole armor of God, where prayer is part of the whole armor of God. Though to speak, thou be not able. Always pray and never rest. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. Boy, that isn't that good. Prayer, a weapon for the feeble. Weakest soul can wear it best. But can we will it? Because we know we're weak. We can't do anything. You know, as long as we think we can do something, we're not going to trust God very much. But we know we're helpless. That's the kind of people who really know how to pray. I told somebody the other day, my grandson said, boys, I want to give you an example of a short prayer, incredibly sincere prayer. We were talking about prayer. A couple of my grandsons. I said, when Peter was sinking, they're walking on the water. He said, Lord, save me. He meant that prayer, didn't he? That was a very sincere prayer and a very short prayer. Now, what I want to do, first of all, is just give you some encouragement to pray. Let's go to several scriptures. These are encouragements to pray. I want to go, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, a great encouragement to pray. That's the first thing I want to do before I get on some tips on how to learn how to pray. I don't even want to do that, but I want to encourage you, first of all. So maybe make a note of these verses here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the thing of our infirmities. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. He's touched the thing of our infirmities. We just got through singing a song, does Jesus care? He does care more than we can imagine. I love that shortest verse in the Bible. I want to preach a whole sermon one of these days on that. I hope I can. Jesus wept. That's a great verse, John 11, 35. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is all points tempted, like as we are without sins. That's one reason he became a human being, to save us, but also to go through what we're going through. We know what we're going through. So because of that, look at this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Boldly means to just pour your heart in full confidence. Let us come boldly. And that throne of grace. Here's what happened when we pray. This is hard to believe. It's the truth the Bible teaches. Where's the throne of grace? We're going to heaven when we pray. Your soul is going to heaven when you pray. That throne of grace is the mercy seat where the Shekinah glory would come once a year when they have the Day of Atonement. The cherubim looking at that. We're coming to the throne of grace. The Shekinah glory is God himself. That's the truth, folks. Where are we going? Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. So next time, maybe even before you begin to pray, maybe you ought to do that. Imagine myself coming boldly to the throne of grace. Are our prayers effectual at all? They are effectual because they're fragrant from the incense of Jesus Christ. Let me show you a state of heaven. This is really what's going on. When you pray, that's what's going on. We come to the throne of grace. Here's what's happening. We get a view to the heavenlies from Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. This is amazing. So be encouraged to pray. I want to encourage you to pray today. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Another angel came and stood by the altar, having a golden censer, kind of like a golden bowl. And there was given unto him much incense. That's the sweet incense, like they have the altar of incense. He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which are before the throne. Now you get that. The prayers of the saints are coming before God. All saints. That, are you a saint? Well, that includes you. I'm a weak saint. That's you. You're all saints. And this incense is the fragrance of Jesus Christ that would give our prayers efficacy. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. My friends, when we are praying, God is smelling something he likes to smell. And another verse that goes along with that, I hope you get these pictures. These two pictures I want you to get today is the throne of grace over there in Hebrews 4. Also, this incense coming up before God. Look at what David prayed over in Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands at the evening sacrifice. Or we can say not my morning sacrifice. Lord, let my prayer come before this incense. The reason God hears our prayers is the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over in another scripture or two to kind of encourage us to pray, over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible's full of this now. This is one of my favorite subjects, is prayer. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Isn't that amazing? God's ear is open to your prayer today. Now, sometimes you don't think that because the devil is such a great liar. He makes us think we got to be worthy to pray before we pray. We'll never be worthy to pray. I'm never good enough myself to pray. But I've always invited to come to God in prayer. Don't let the devil keep you from the throne of grace. You're not coming because you deserve to come to God in prayer. He's earned you that right. He's invited you to come to pray. Let's therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We're invited to come to the throne of grace. We need to take advantage of that more than we do. And then the final one is your own encouragement to pray. This is over in Romans 8:15. This is a wonderful one. I love this one so much. Romans 8:15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what Abba, Father is? You're calling God Papa or Daddy. That's what that's all about. Abba was the Hebrew equivalent to these monosyllabic words the babies always say first. I don't know what your baby said first. Papa, I like my own to say Papa myself, since I'm a granddaddy. But they say Mama, Dada. That's what Abba is. My friend, that's what you do. I've done that a few times to God. I said, Lord, Papa, Abba, Daddy, I'm coming to you in prayer. That's how intimate it is. I know he's the God of the whole earth. I know we come to him with reverence. We come to him as little children. The Spirit of God helps you do that. Isn't that great? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Those are encouragements to pray. Now, let me give you some pointers on prayer. This is what I really want to spend my time on. I want to teach you how to pray. And so what we need to do here, you sometimes have to stir yourself up to pray. You can come up. I'm going to give you some hints on how to do that. Because prayer is pretty hard sometimes. It's pretty hard sometimes. I'm not saying it's easy all the time. It's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes it's easy when God's with us. Sometimes it's not. Our prayer just as good we don't feel it as they are when we don't feel it. You can't go by feeling. Say, okay, I had a good prayer time today. God heard my prayer, so I feel good about it. No, God hears your prayer anyway. Remember that. But I like it when we feel good. So sometimes you got to stir yourself up to pray. Make yourself pray. I'll show you how to do that. Isaiah 64 talked about that. Isaiah 64. So I want you to pay attention to me today. Now, if you had prayer, I want you to learn how to stir yourself up to pray. You ought to be praying every day, more than one time. Stir yourself. If you don't have a habit of prayer, pray. And then, you know, when you have a habit of prayer, some people have it in the morning. It's a good time to wake up praying. It's a good time to go to bed praying, isn't it? And then during the day, you may send an air up to heaven. I call it send an air up to heaven. Stay in the spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean I'm praying. Everything I do is praying. I'm always constantly in an attitude of prayer. And that's hard to do because we're sinners, isn't it? See, this flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so we cannot do the things that we would. We always fight in that old ungodly sinful nature. But look at Isaiah 64. 4 verse 7. Now, this is when the Lord is condemning them, but in condemning them, he's showing them what they should have been doing. Isaiah 64, 7. There's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. What a great expression. You're not calling on my name because you've not stirred yourself up to take hold on thee. My friend, we have to stir ourselves up to take hold on God. Okay? So I want you, and I'm going to give you some hints today on how to do that. Stir yourself up, take hold on God. Now, one more encouragement here is the Holy Spirit will help you pray. You just can't pray on your own. You're supposed to pray. You can't do it on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you pray. I'll give you 2 verses on that. One of my favorite is over Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit will help you pray. This is a great verse, great 2 verses here, great passage, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is a prayer infirmity, and it's amazing. Paul had the same problem we have. By the way, Paul is a great prayer warrior. In fact, while I'm at it, I'm going to recommend a book to you. You can get it on the internet. You can probably get it, download a PDF file, or get a used copy. Arthur W. Pink wrote a book called Gleanings from Paul. Gleanings from Paul, A.W. Pink, one of the best books I've ever read on prayer. But even though Paul is a great prayer warrior, he also had infirmities in prayer. He's admitting this here. He needs the help of God to be the kind of prayer warrior that he was. Likewise, this is Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, we all. Have you ever been there? I talked to a man in Georgia whose wife died of cancer. He said, I got to where I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray for. I didn't say, God, spare her. Let her go into glory. I didn't know how to pray. We get in dilemmas like that sometimes. We know not what we should pray for, we all. But the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know you've experienced that. You know, sometimes in church we hear people groaning. I hear my wife groaning sometimes. We do a lot of praying together. And sometimes we'll be praying and she's just inside there. I can hear her emotion. I do the same thing that you do also. Sometimes we don't know how. I don't even know what I'm groaning about sometimes. But they're deep prayers. Maybe some of the best prayers you've ever prayed have been inarticulate as far as you're concerned. You know, sometimes I get in a mode, not very often, but I love this. Sometimes I just feel like, and I just enjoy staying there while I'm not hurrying through it. God, you put all your children on my heart. Have you ever been there? I get to pray sometimes. Oh, God, I love all your children. The ones I know, the ones I don't know. The ones I've seen in India, the ones I've seen in the Philippines, the ones I've seen in Siberia. I just think about them. And then I think about people I've heard about, don't even know. My friend in heaven is going to be great. We'll all be together and have forever to get to know each other. Isn't that wonderful? The people I wanted to talk to in Siberia and India and Nicaragua, but I don't know their language, have a hard time communicating, I'll not have a hard time communicating in heaven. Total communication, hallelujah. So that groan that we're doing some praying. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit. But he makes intercession to the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? Now, you know, we have a prayer and fasting day at Grace Chapel. The first Wednesday of every month, we have a day of fasting and prayer. And so I had a great time this last Wednesday. I prayed a lot this last Wednesday. But I wanted to do that. When I got to say, God, I got to have some strength. I got to have some strength. It takes inner strength to pray. So I give you a verse you ought to use. God, give me strength to get a hold of you. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3, 16. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. That he would grant you according the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, there's some, we need physical strength. We need emotional and spiritual strength, don't we? You know what I'm talking about. So God, please help me be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. I can really grab a hold of you and pray like I ought to. All right? Now I want to jump ahead to something that I think this is very exciting to me. This is the key. I hope you will use this and use your imagination as you read the Bible to help you pray. This is amazing what I'm thinking to read to you. Over in Hosea One of the minor prophets, the first of the minor prophets. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. This is absolutely amazing. Listen, I hope I can stir you up today. I hope you'll do some work on this. I can get your spiritual imagination going on this. My friend, you can learn to pray. It's unlimited what you can do if you'll pay attention to what I'm going to tell you about. Hosea 14, verse 2. Get this. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we render the cash of our lips. Take words when you go to God. You know, the prodigal son did that. You know something, what you need to do sometime before you run to God, friends? Get you some words. I'm gonna tell you how to do that. Get you some words and go to God. Don't go empty-handed. The prodigal son did that. He rehearsed what he's gonna say before he went to the Father. Look over in Luke 15, 18 and 19. Luke 15, 18 and 19. The prodigal son rehearsed what he was going to say before he went to the Father. We need to rehearse what we're going to say before we go to God. We don't spend enough time in prayer, do we? We don't put enough thought into it. That's why we don't pray better. It's okay to pray on the fly. We need to do that also. But my friends, I hope this will inspire you today. I'm going to take more time to do deliberate praying. God's going to bring revival, I hope. Even this coronavirus may help bring revival. I know God's people pray more than they have anyway, because we have to pray because we're weak, we need help. I hope God Almighty will send us a prayer revival. Usually before he sends revival, he sends a prayer revival first. Luke 15, 18 and 19 shows you the prodigal son did rehearse before he went to the Father. We have a song we sang this morning. I think I'll arise to go to my Father. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, so he's rehearsing this before he goes, Father, I sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, maybe as one of thy hired servants. You know, God didn't even get through that whole prayer. He was such a forgiving God, but he still took it to God. God liked it, but he didn't even say everything. He didn't say, let me be one of thy hired servants. He thought, hey, let's have a party. Let's kill a fatted calf. Let's make merry, because the sinner has repented. But he did take those words to go to God, didn't he? Isn't that beautiful? That's just absolutely beautiful. All right, now let me give you some suggestions. I'm going to give you some suggestions. I'm not going to take long now, but you may think I will. I want to hear Isaac preach. Let me give you some suggestions. Only suggestions. Okay, you say, Brother Zach, Hosea says, take with you word to go to God. How can I do that? Let me use some suggestions. You can take the model prayer of God. I've done it many times. The model prayer of Jesus Christ, it's over in Matthew 6, also in Luke 11, 1 through 13. I've done it many times. Our Father, which art in heaven. Listen, I've said that on top of that word hour sometimes, spent 5 minutes on hour. Get to think about people I love. Our Father. And then Father, get on Father a while. Which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Go through the whole prayer. Go through the whole prayer. Let it be your prayer. Then we can also do this. That's some words you can take with you. Try it. Then you can take some of Paul's prayers. Let me tell you where three of them are. Three of them. You can find more of them. Pray those prayers for your brothers and sisters. Call praying the prayers to the Ephesians. We can pray for each other that way. Pray for your family. Pray for your church members, your friends. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a great prayer. I'm not going to read it to you. It'll take me too much time. You get in Ephesians 1, find that prayer. I got it memorized. You get in Ephesians chapter 3, find another great prayer. Okay? I'm using. Are you writing this down? I'm making a mental note? You going to ask my notes? You going to let go and wire out the other? It won't do you a bit of good. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. That's another one. That's just some suggestions. Go through all of Paul's prayers. I'm just giving through three. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. You can do that. Psalm 51. Are you a sinner? Have you committed sin? You need to repent. I've memorized, and I don't know how many times. I have prayed literally Psalm 51. It's the great repentance prayer. Try when you need to repent before God Almighty. And you can also look for prayers. I'm going to read you one. And some of the people here today will remember this. One time I went to a dinner party with some Christians at Tom Verdeja's house, a friend. Sandra Dean was there. Casey and Melissa were there. Judy was there with me. And you may not remember this, but it made an indelible impression on my mind. When Tom began to offer the blessing, he prayed a prayer, I almost shouted. I thought he had made it up, but he didn't. I found out where it was. He had raised in the Episcopal Church, which I don't really like the Episcopal Church, and he doesn't anymore. But they had some good things going. I found that he was praying the prayer of repentance, the Episcopal prayer book. I memorized that prayer. I may not be able to say it to you, so I'm going to read it to you. I may get a little nervous here in the congregation and couldn't say it, but I've memorized this prayer. I'll send it to you if you want it. I'm saying you can find prayers. You can find prayers. Make them your own. Listen to this if you want to repent. Since it doesn't stir your soul up, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices, desire of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. There's no health in us. But Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, the glory of the holy name. Amen. Doesn't that move your soul? Man, we're miserable sinners. And we admit to God Almighty and say, Lord, help me do better. I love it. You can find other prayers like that, no doubt. You can find other prayers like that, no doubt. But anyway, and let me say something else. One more prayer. Go to Daniel 9. I won't go there right now. One of the best prayers ever prayed in the whole world, Daniel 9. Make it your own. He's asking God to have mercy on Israel. He's asking God to let them out of captivity, and God did let them out of captivity. God stirred Daniel to pray that prayer. Daniel was reading. He tells what happened. He was reading Jeremiah. He was reading Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, God was telling, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years, then you're getting out. So Daniel realized we're close to the time we're fixing to get out. Instead of that making him complacent, it drove him to prayer. Read Daniel 9 about that. Then he began to pray this amazing prayer. Amazing prayer in Daniel chapter 9. So the Bible, friends, is a prayer book. The Bible is a prayer book, Old and New Testament. How many prayers in the Psalms? I didn't read a Psalm before we began today. Filled with prayers. Take with you words to go to God, my dear friends. Let me tell you about George Mueller. I've told you about him before. George Mueller was a great prayer warrior over in, he was a German, but he lived in England. The one who was a mighty prayer warrior. We'll go to him. You probably know about him. You don't know if y'all find out about him. And old Mueller was a prayer warrior. And amazing what all things happened in his prayer life. And he made this statement that for a while, it took me a long time every morning to get the spirit of prayer. But I finally found a scripture that helped me almost immediately in the spirit of prayer. He said, I start reading my Bible in the morning, looking at Bible reading, and I would turn that into request. If I came across something that made me want to repent, I'd repent right there. If I came across some need, I'd pray that. If I came across some praise, I'd pray that. In other words, he made the Bible a prayer book. He prayerfully read the scriptures. He said, almost instantaneously, I would get in the spirit of prayer. He said, I tried it for a year before I told about it, make sure it really worked, it did. So my friend, the Bible had a great prayer book. Guess what? You got another great prayer book. It's a psalm book. You know that? We got some amazing songs that the people had experiences in our psalm book. So the psalm book can definitely be a prayer book. Now, let me say this. A lot of stuff I've said before, but some of you haven't heard it, and won't hurt the rest of you hear it again. Persistent prayer. Don't give up in prayer. And let me tell you the story I've told so many times. It happened again this week, even though I thought all that cold this week, but it happened again. Judy and I have been doing a lot of walking during this thing. We've kind of got to reacquaint it, really. And anyway, one time many years ago, I'm walking to get some exercise down in Galloway Golf Course. Right now, I walk at Galloway Golf Course. It's real pretty down there. I really appreciate the rich people keep up their yard for me. It's a pretty much walk. But anyway, here I'm out walking to Galloway Golf Course. Cold. Got my jacket all zipped up. I get to walking. I'm cold. After I walk a few minutes, I unzip my jacket. Walk a few more minutes, take the thing off, turn around my way. A few more minutes, roll my sleeves up. And God spoke to me. He said, hey, Zach, I don't know where he called me Zach and God. Now he spoke to me in my soul. That's what you need to do about prayer. You first thought that you're pretty cold, aren't you? But you keep on going. You keep on going. And you're going to feel like praying after you pray a while. The devil doesn't want you to do that. You keep on praying, and you're going to start feeling like praying. So you persist in prayer. And then, let me tell you what I want you to do. I hope God will do this for us. Not just us, but for Christians in general. Not only in the United States, around the world. God let the coronavirus happen for a reason. We don't know what all the reasons are. But I hope what God will do will give us the spirit of prayer and hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to do over in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 14. That's what I hope he'll do. I want you to ask God to do this. Zechariah 12, 14. 12:10. I'm sorry, 12:10. And I will pour out on the house of David over the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's not only talking about real Jews. He's talking about spiritual Jews there also. And every child got a spiritual Jew. I will pour out upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. Wouldn't that be great if God poured out upon us the spirit of grace and supplications? Wouldn't that be great? Now, I'm going to close, but I want to say one more thing. Now, I'm going to be real brief about this. I know I'm going to be, this is going to be something you can't remember all this. But I want to give acknowledgement to my great God, what he's done for my soul. And I'm offering you help if you want it. You may not want it. You may not need it. Almost 4 years ago now, God turned on a switch in my heart. I've always wanted to pray for our government. Because I'm supposed to. It's a priority, ought to be. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, we may lead a quite a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We ought to be praying that all the time. Yeah. And so anyway, I used to do it spasmodically. I always wanted to do it, but somehow I just couldn't do it as much as I knew all to. So back about almost 4 years ago now, God turned a prayer switch on my heart. I have not failed, maybe a time or two, but I've hardly failed. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, I pray two things. I'll tell you where they are if you want these. I pray for our churches first. Let me show you where that is. This is beautiful. You might want to write these down. But this moved me. I pray for our churches first. I pray for my government. That's just my routine. I say, God, I hope it's not just a routine. I ask God to help me really put my heart into it. But I'm going to do it whether it's routine or not. I really mean business. So number one, I pray for our churches first. There's some beautiful language in the Bible about things like this. I'll read you about the one I read before I pray for our churches. It's over in Isaiah 62, verse 1. Now skip down to verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verse 1, then verses 6 and 7. For Zion's sake, that's the church. For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest till the righteousness thereof go forth in brightness, the salvation thereof, and the lamp that burneth. Then skip down to verse 6 and 7. I love this word picture. I want to be one of these kind of guys, if I can. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Boy, isn't that a beautiful picture of a prayer warrior? I like to be a prayer warrior. I'm not one. I like to be one. I like to be like Epaphras. Epaphras is over in Colossians chapter 4. Epaphras, who one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. That's a prayer warrior. That's where Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. So I do that. Then I pray for God to bless his people with revival. Then I go here to 1 Timothy, the one I quote it again. I pray, ask God to bless our government. My friend, that's so important. You know, one reason I have not got bent out of shape more, I know the implications of this coronavirus are great. Even when we come out of this thing, economically, maybe governmentally, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not really afraid because God's sovereign. Some of y'all are going crazy. Don't go crazy. Be aware, but don't go nuts. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. You hear what I said? God's on the throne. God got control of everything. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, the river of water. He turns it, puts it over, he will. So anyway, I pray again. I work there for the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all their own authority, to live a quiet and peaceable life, and all godliness, and that's what I want. Now, so God has given me some dynamics. I'm going to mention them to you. I know this. I know it's too fast. I'm going to do it anyway. So if you want it, you can have it. And this is not some kind of a gimmick. This is something God gave me. Maybe it's for me. But if you want it, I'll bet it to you. I pray what I call the Ahithophel Hushai dynamic. Briefly, that is that God will bless government officials to take the right kind of advice, and bad people take the wrong advice that would destroy them. That's what happened with Ahithophel Hushai. If you know the story, I ain't got time to talk about it a lot. When David was fleeing from Absalom, they took Hushai's advice because God made him do it, because the Bible says that. I got reference right here. And so Absalom died. But God's the one, my friend. I'm praying, God, I hope our good people, and you who good people are, God, will take the good advice. The bad people take the bad advice and destroy them. I pray that. Now I pray the Haman Mordecai dynamic. Lord, bless the bad people who have bad designs to hang on their own gallows. That's what happened to old Haman. He built a great big gallows, but guess who got home on it? Well, no Mordecai, it's old Haman. Built his own gallows. I say, Lord, there are people who have bad designs. They do have bad designs. I pray they may hang on their own gallows. And then I pray what I call the Daniel dynamic. Lord, in the past and even now, you put people that are godly in positions of responsibility in government. Please do it. Please do it. I got a new guy I'm going to start praying for. Tom Cotton from Arkansas. I'm going to start praying for Tom. I pray for Marshall Blackburn. If you got some godly people you know of in government, send them to me. I'll start praying for them. God put people in strategic positions of power that love you. Then I pray for what I call the Cyrus dynamic. Cyrus wasn't even a child of God. But God used him to get the people of Israel out of captivity. So I say, Lord, there's some people who are not even your children. You can use them. And let's, I pray the Cyrus dynamic. Then I pray the Gideon dynamic. That's got two parts to it. I say, Lord, bless the bad guys to destroy themselves and wild confusion, because that's what they did. But the good guys to stand around about the camp in their own place, be unified. That's the Gideon dynamic. And then I play what I call the incense dynamic. That's a little bit more different, but you can listen to Deuteronomy. I've got it written down here in Deuteronomy. That is, Lord, I am not for abortion. I am not for homosexual rights. I'm not for transgender. I'm not for all that junk. God, don't hold me responsible for that. That a place in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, when a man was found dead by a city, the elder said, Lord, don't charge us for this, please. Please, we're not guilty of this. We don't know who did this. We didn't do it on purpose. So I think Christians can say, Lord, I don't believe all this stuff that's ungodly. So please, God, in that sense only, I'm innocent. Then I played the Jonah dynamic. God, raise some God up like Jonah. They've had to go through a whole lot. They've had to suffer. But have the courage to preach the whole place like Nineveh and then give some leaders who will repent. I doubt that Nineveh king was a child of God, but I'll tell you what, he repented. You know, God could send national repentance. You know that? Back during World War II, brother, there's a lot of praying going on in England and places. I don't know where George VI was a child of God or not, but he knew how to call England to prayer and fasting. My friend, he wrote Roosevelt. I don't pray. I don't know what old Roosevelt was. You know, only God does, but he had enough something, made political something to call him repentance. So I pray that dynamic. Then I pray what I call the Saul Paul dynamic. God, let there be somebody. Because Saul was the greatest enemy the church had. And became the greatest friend the church had when God called him to be born again. Wouldn't it be great if somebody who really believed in abortion rights but all of a sudden say, "Woo! I've changed. I've been born again. I'm a guest now." That kind of thing, or other kind of things like that. Wouldn't it be great if God did that? God could do it, my friend. He could do that. And then I pray for what I call, this is really important. These are all important. I say, Lord, please give good people supernatural wisdom and courage. Because listen, you can't imagine what it's like for these good people. My friend, the pressure against them. They're crucified. The Washington Post, I'll just name names. The New York Times, I'll name names. It's unreal. Good people are under all kinds of assault. And the devil is devilishly clever in his arguments. And they must get dismayed sometimes up there. I say, God, give our good leaders supernatural courage and supernatural wisdom on how to talk to their enemies. And then I also pray this, and this is also in there. I say, God, make the enemy sometimes lose heart and flee in abject fear. Because God doesn't have the Old Testament. And some of these real bold people who are the wrong thing. Their heart can melt, their courage leave. That's what I pray for. Then the final one I pray for is what I'm going to give you. I quote this to you, you know it as well as I do. But I want to redo it. I want to redo it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, I know this is theocratic, but I believe we can still use it today. Talking about Israel, but I believe we can spiritually do this. If my people who are called by my name, there's four things we do. Humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and admit our ways are wicked, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. My friends, may God give us, I pray, the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray.
Well, if you'll just turn to your Bibles to Psalm 65 just for a couple of minutes. This morning we really wanted to share two big thoughts with you. One thought was what you just heard, and that is a call to prayer. The other thought is just in regards to Christ's words in Matthew 5 that blessed are the peacemakers. But we'll think about that next time. I want us to think just on what we have heard this morning, just for a couple of more minutes. Because that is the heart of your pastors, is that we desperately want to see in God's people, particularly as a result of all the strange things that we have experienced these last few weeks, more than conclusions or commentary, friends, we need to be those who are calling out upon God, that we would be those who are actually humbling ourselves and falling down before the one who, as we said this morning in Psalm 95, it all belongs to him. The earth belongs to him. The world belongs to him. Our times belong to him. And so may we, as we have never done before, turn to him, to acknowledge him, to call out to him, and to cry out to him for help and for mercy and for endurance and for all the things that we so desperately need. And so the question that was running through my mind as we're listening to that message about prayer and that call to prayer was this: who is or who are the ones who will actually do this? Who are the ones who will actually seek to endure in prayer and persist in prayer and to grow in prayer? And while we don't want to compare prayer muscles, that's not the goal at all. We're not saying, oh, I prayed for 20 hours today. What did you do today? It's not that at all. But the question is, who is it that will believe that God is such that he's worth calling out in praise, or that he is strong enough, that he is able to hear our prayers? Well, it's sort of a combination of two things. The first part is that we have to believe that God is as he says he is. We have to believe that he actually is the living God. We have to believe that in him we live and we move and we have our being. That there is no other source for breath or help or strength than God. Friends, that's the truth. That's who God presents himself to us. He is the author of our lives. He is the sustainer of our lives. He is the deliverer, both temporally and eternally from our sins, and he alone is all those things. That's the message of Isaiah, God to Isaiah in the Isaiah 40s. That is, I am the Lord, and there's nobody like me. I am the Lord, and there's nobody who compares to me. I am the Lord, and I alone am the Savior. Friends, I think one thing that this whole time has done has exposed, let me just be the first to step up and say this, this time has exposed our great arrogance, my great arrogance, your great arrogance, our great arrogance, the expressions of our complaint, the expressions of our fault during all this time has largely just exposed our own arrogance. So we need to see God for who he is. And then we need to see ourselves for who we are as needy, helpless creatures, but trusting and believing that God hears. So let me just read this a few verses from Psalm 65. Who are those who will actually pray in this way? Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. So who's going to bring this vow? Who's going to bring this praise to God? O thou, listen to this. O thou that hearest prayer. That's the first conclusion. Do you believe that God is who he said he is? Do you believe that he is the living God who will actually hear our prayers? One reason that we don't pray sometimes is just because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel that God would actually welcome us into his presence unless we maybe perform a little bit better. Unless maybe we clean ourselves up or get our act together. But remember the prodigal son that was referenced earlier. The reason that he said, I'm going to go to my father, was because he found nowhere else to go. He had come to the end of himself. He had come to the end of his strength and the end of his solutions and the end of all that he thought that he could provide. He could provide nothing, but he believed, he trusted that his father would hear, that his father would receive, and that his father would have compassion. So, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So all flesh comes to the one who hears prayer. Listen to verse 3. Do you feel that maybe you're not worthy to come to God in prayer? Maybe you can relate to David then. Iniquities prevail against me. Iniquities are weighing me down, holding me tight. Iniquities prevail against me. Listen to this. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. There's an encouragement to pray, isn't there not? Even as iniquities prevail, they gain the upper hand. But God, you're the one who purges away transgressions. And so the conclusion is, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Does that describe you this morning? Do you believe yourself to be blessed? And the reason that you are blessed, because you are a man or woman or child whom the Lord has chosen and caused you, sort of picked you up and brought you, caused you to approach unto God. Those who do dwell in his courts, those who do will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. So brothers and sisters, may we believe that God is as he says he is. May we believe that he is the Father, but that also that he is the able one, that he hears our prayer. And may we run, not because we're worthy, and not because we've earned it, and not because we've made a deal with God, but may we run because we believe that he's the one who chooses and causes us to approach into him, and that in his presence we are satisfied. In his presence we are allowed to dwell, to stay, to remain. And so may God bless us as we continue, hopefully, to grow. I have been so grateful for the prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And my observation is that as they have gone from week to week, and likely we have become more and more stretched and more frayed and more uptight and more irritable and more ready to punch a punching bag. That's just the truth, right? As we have gotten been there, we have also become gradually more fervent in our cries to God. And the things that we have asked for have sort of been stripped down in some ways from just the normal mundane needs that are real needs, but the deeper needs of our souls have begun to be called out to God for. And so in that very small way, I'm thankful. As a pastor and as an observer of Christianity, I have been pretty uptight this whole time just because that is not the response. That is the overwhelming response that you would hope to see from God's people. May that increase. May that continue. May we talk less and pray much more. So we look forward so much to the service next Sunday. Lord willing, pray for the weather. Pray that the weather will be sunny and beautiful. And we look forward for those who are comfortable to coming next Sunday. Brother Kiefer will probably say more about that now. But we love you and miss you. And we pray that God would bless us to endure with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And maybe next Sunday we'll talk about blessed are the peacemakers.
I want to share one more thing with you, just take a minute, but I was listening to a radio program this week on the WCRV, the religious station, some guy was preaching, and I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. He said, we need to talk about God, but we need to talk to God. And I thought that really got me. Well, we talk about him a lot, that's good, but let's talk to him also. And another thing he said was that, you know, we sometimes feel like we're in the shadows, and this is a beautiful thing to help me. He said, look, when you're walking toward the sun, the shadows are behind you. If you walk away from the sun, the shadows are before you. So let's walk toward the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, and the shadow will be behind us. Those two things just really helped me. I hope it helped you too.